Welcome to the Technori Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Catoon. Joining me on today's show, my friend Zach Sloan. He is co-founder of Rent Grotta, CFO. He's got a man bun, so it's kind of surprising. I spent a lot of time talking about it because I got man bun like, what's the word I'm looking for here?
Envy.
Yeah, I got man bun envy. I don't think I have the hair for that. Regardless, he's a cool dude. He's been on the show before. He's back. They're doing some good stuff. They're about to raise some serious cash. We spent a good amount of time talking about how to market a B2B play and how to, you know, keep their social media fresh and cool, even though the company itself is different. The idea of letting your people who live in your unit or live in your building essentially make money by answering questions that those prospects looking to move into the building have is fucking brilliant. It just is. It's just a really, really smart, simple concept, and they've done a great job with it. And so you'll benefit a ton from listening to Zach's kind of perspective and the growth of the company. But also, he and I just riffing back and forth on like the ideation process of how to market a startup, which is always important. So before we do that, though, I must check in with the startup inbox. If you want to write a question that you want me to attempt to answer, you can email at hello@technori.com, or you can just DM us on social at Technori on whatever platform you prefer. You can snap me. I'm still on Snapchat holding down the fort. No one else is there, but the little echo chamber that is my favorite one. So that's your choice. Startup Inbox. It is brought to you by ActiveCampaign. Go beyond email marketing with true automation by signing up for ActiveCampaign.com/Technori. Get your first 2 months for free. We use and love ActiveCampaign, and I think you will too. Question from Nancy Huff. The day has finally come. Zuckerberg admitted Facebook needs help with standards and has called not just on the U.S., but international coalitions similar to the EU to form privacy rules and regulation. Is this the best way to ensure something is done to protect privacy and prevention misinformation? If you think by applying enough pressure on a CEO to make them feel like there's finally a marketing, their own doing, their own screw-ups that got us here. So much has been made because of all of the data security breach and screw-ups that we've come full circle, and that Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook can now look good trying to be a combatant of privacy breaches. If you haven't noticed any of the Apple commercials recently, the little wick on the Apple turns into a lock, and they're selling privacy, as in you use Apple phones because they're the safest, the most private, because they're a closed network. Yeah, that's true, I guess. By default, it wasn't on purpose. It just sort of worked that way out. Anything that changes the privacy laws or anything is helpful. To be quite honest, to answer your question in the shortest possible way, information and education is helpful. The government, the people responsible for making these decisions, for voting on these bills, don't know how to turn on a fucking computer. Right? They asked Mark Zuckerberg like 50 times. Oh, how do you make money? We're an ad-based revenue platform. How does Facebook stay in business? We make money through advertising. Well, how does the business model work? We're an ad-based platform. He answered the same thing like 5,000 times. They don't understand the business of tech. They don't understand the tech that is existing. They don't understand AI. They don't understand any of it. So before we work on whether or not Mark Zuckerberg is a good guy, which he's probably not, but you know, he's not terrible. He's no different than anyone else, I suspect. I would like to see people who are elected officials who actually know how to turn on their computer. That's a start. Can you sign into Facebook and then go to the apps page? That's just like where we'll start. So I don't know if that answered your question or not. Probably not, but it was my best attempt. I would like to see privacy reform and preventing misinformation as much as the next guy. The fines and things that US-based companies are paying in Europe is insane. If you look it up, it's billions of dollars. They can pay it here too. I think you just have to put the laws in place. And in the end, I mean, you're a human user. So like, is scrolling and stalking people worth giving up your data? I don't know. Only you would know. So with that said, let's bring in my friend Zach Sloan, CFO, co-founder of Rent Grotta. Shouldn't I get headphones that are better than these pieces of shit? Or maybe like Beats? Shit, I need some
You should
Beats.
Get sponsored.
I should get sponsored.
That's a good idea.
Well, Shure sponsors the mics here, but then they only gave them to the guests, which is fucking stupid. The podcast started, by the way.
Oh,
so
well,
welcome.
This is perfect.
This is it. This is how we do the show now.
I wouldn't expect anything less, Scott.
Right? I mean, you don't want... It's. I almost said something terrible, so I'm glad that I didn't. You'd think that would happen more often than not, that I would just go ahead and say something awful. Yeah. But no, it's like, I think everything... This is an entrepreneur's podcast, and it's like... I think a lot of the podcasts, and you've been on other stuff, I'm sure, but like they're not like they're so produced.
Yeah,
they're not like natural.
Mm-hmm.
And entrepreneurs are supposed to be people who just like drop in and just roll. Like it's one meeting to the next, and next you're leaving this show to go into a meeting that might change your life, right? So
it's true.
It's a good start. So Zach, was it just you on last time, or did you bring your crew, or what was it?
Sam, the other co-founder.
Sam was the co-founder. I couldn't remember if we had multiple of you. We will get into Rent Grotta and the story and all that. I just wanted to say I was doing a little bit of research on you guys just to catch up on things that like we talked at the March Madness party, but I didn't get a chance to sort of like go on your site myself and actually mm-hmm. go to some of your properties and things. And the one observation that I made was your Instagram account.
Okay.
It needs work. And I understand as a real estate person, like it's challenging. And so I just want to submit an idea.
Okay.
And you can do what you want here.
We're all ears.
This is more than ears, but you're getting closer. I think that your man bun should have, the account should be your man bun.
Oh, geez.
And I think that it should be all of either the view of what you just left, which is ruin. Because you just crushed a meeting, or it's like what's going over top of it, but like everything has just a little bit of man bun in the
okay.
view.
All right.
It's stupid, but I think it could be funny and catchy, and I you have a lot of energy, and you're fucking everywhere, and so I think you'd cover a lot more ground just doing selfies over the top of your head of the shit you just did.
I will we'll consider that. If you've seen the other posts, we've tried to take ourselves and disassociate ourselves from Rent Grotta as yep. founders to make it more of a brand, but I mean,
well, let's start with that. Let's start with yeah. with that conversation, because trust me, I know this conversation better than anyone with Technori. When Seth built Technori, it still is about the community, and it still is it's about something bigger than ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it was an impossible task for Seth to separate himself from the brand. And then when I took over, it was like, well, I'm even more public facing, so this is really going to be a challenge. And we've tried really hard to create a differentiation between me and the brand. In the end, there's nothing you can do. Mm-hmm. And like people are going to stick to what they relate to. And so like my thing for you guys is like, either like you can make Rent Grotta, like Rent Grotta is going to be its own brand. Like that's one thing. But on a social media standpoint, it's better to find one person or your customers or the users who are communicating and entice them to share video snippets of their communication with people or their first encounter with a new renter or whatever. It's better to have something that people relate to on social than sticking to the brand guidelines, because in the end, if no one is running with it and no one's actually engaging it, then what the fuck are we doing?
Yeah, I think... when we first launched, we kind of had a direction, and this goes back to when we last spoke about a year ago on the podcast, where Rent Grotta was going both B2B and B2C. So we were trying to sign up with apartment complexes as well as get prospective renters to know that Rent Grotta exists as an option to find their next apartment.
Yep.
Since that time, and with the release of our new Rent Grotta Messenger, which is a widget that lives in the corner of an apartment community's website, and a prospective renter can message the current residents that have signed up and answer questions about, you know, what's it like to own a dog in the community? What's it like to commute down to the Loop or a local business center every day? And that has really shifted what our focus is on B2C and all B2B. And one thing for our Instagram and some of our ideas, one of which was, these people, they're making referral money, and some of them are making really good referral money. We have some people that have made 5, 6, 10 referrals at some of their communities. And if their referral is $250 or $500 that they get a cut of, that's real change.
Yeah.
So what we've talked about is potentially having them talk about what they are spending their money on with the referrals that they've received through RentGrotta. So kind of touching on what you were saying of relating more to the consumer and getting it as an interactive platform.
I want to let you in a secret that you already probably know. They're like B2C. I don't mean this in a business standpoint. I mean just like human being consumer. Influencers and people who have nothing else to do, apparently, except for to wander around with a fucking camera. They have the unfair advantage of nothing to do. So they can create content every single day. And if they just keep creating content, the shit that's terrible just disappears and the better stuff, you know, goes in. The secret to many of the companies that I have found to be very successful, and Technori, I'm not saying we're successful, but Technori is another example of this. I practice what I preach here, is this is our content day. Mm-hmm. Like there's a couple random things we'll do between now and Sunday that I will put on stories or John or somebody will create in the meantime. But like Tuesday's content day, I get to talk to three just baller founders and we get to take a bunch of pictures and we get the studio and we do all this stuff. What it does is it gives us enough content for the week, but it also gives us the ability to slow down and make our content resonate mm-hmm. and get control over what the messaging is. So you don't have to worry about every single day, random shots and like user generated content, UGC, which was like all the rage, like, 2 years ago, everything was UGC until they found out that it sucks. You don't need to do that. You can take, I love where you're going with this. You can take the people you have who are making real cheddar and actually play a game with them where like you can double their dough. Mm-hmm. Like what if you were to go and host a little event with like all the big winners and you did like Cash Car and the people who make money, like they can play a little game with RentGrotta about stats about the neighborhood. And if they're accurate or right, then you guys will match what you've already paid them and double their dough and then put that little thing on Instagram. And if you did one of those, that's one segment a week, or you could break it into like a question a day. And like each person who's made money gets a question of the day. That way you're not paying out like $600 every time, and, you know, hopefully they lose some, but like you could set up like a 3-hour window where you just go back to this week's winners and cue them on one thing and then double down money. And that is your content. And it's funny. And it's, and like, they're going to share it with their friends. Their friends are going to make fun of them if they say that they know the neighborhood, but they don't know what the fuck they're talking about, you know? So like, what I like about companies like RentGrotta, and I've said this since day one, is I love the flexibility and the fluidity that you guys have because you've built a really cool portal that can be used for a lot of things. It's just being used for what it is right now, but it can be used for other stuff. And so I just don't want you guys to get caught up into the real estate box of like, well, we sell to B now, so we're boring. You can be cool and business.
Yeah, and I didn't know we were going to go this route, but now that we did go down, what we're interested in is obviously multifamily and student housing is our main focus, but with this next capital raise and where RentGrotta can go is people today, they want opinions of other people that have purchased that item or purchased that experience, so a cruise package, go to the gym down the street, and you want to do more than just read a static review on Yelp from someone that potentially didn't even do what they're saying that they did.
Yeah.
So having this RentGrotta Messenger brand toward, not that I live at a certain community and that I'm in a 2-bedroom apartment and I like, you know, I'm a teleworker and I own a dog. It's I go to the gym down the street. So I go to Core Power Yoga and I go to this class and I go here for this reason. So if someone lands on the Core Power website, they could reach out to me and it builds the community of every homepage that RentGrotta is loaded on.
So there was a company that got acquired. They raised a shit ton of cash and they got acquired and then it kind of fizzled out and it was called Clout with a K. I don't know if you remember this. This was, how old are you now?
29. Wow. On record going 20. Well, okay. Yeah.
20, you know, it's all right. You look good for 29.
Oh, thank you. The man bun's doing okay.
The man bun is great. how old's the man bun?
Well, it was reborn. So it was born and then taken off and reborn. It's, I think, like 3 years old.
So how long was the first one?
About 2 or 3 years old.
All right,
too.
So you got like a 7 year old there.
Yeah,
that's pretty sweet.
I'm going to break through the record of the previous one, so watch out.
That's well, if you have a girlfriend or a fiance or a wife or somebody who's okay with this, then you know, more power to you.
No issues there.
All right, well, there you go. No, but where I was going with this is Clout was a company that basically scored you. Like on your social, like how much clout do you mm-hmm. have? Like when I post something, how much of an influence is that on those around me? And there was a moment in time where it looked like it could be a huge deal. And there was like the reputation economy and all this stuff. And it kind of fizzled out and probably for the better. But I think that there, if you do some research on it, I think you'll find that there's some application there. Because I always tell the founders that I talk to of like the three simplest ways to start a business. Like you don't need to have scale immediately. Like you need to find a revenue source that supports your operational costs to get going. That's not scalable. Just mm-hmm. got to turn the lights on. You need to have an unfair advantage. What is the one thing you guys can chase down and tackle that other people just can't or won't or whatever? And you need to build a model around it. And that model is going to evolve for the rest of your life. And the third and probably the most important thing is just creating value for others. So if you can prove that your troops, your tribe, whatever you want to call it, of people who are using RankRata are pushing people towards core yoga or towards this, that, and the other thing within the neighborhood, you're creating value for everyone, which makes them want to come on and either self-fulfill it. It's like a flywheel. And it's like, that's what I saw about your business that I thought was so unique. And I think, you know, one, adding that to the business model, I think is valuable if for nothing else, just the data play. But in general, I just see like how you guys have evolved and how the tool can be used for like so many things.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we go backwards to go forwards. We go back and talk a little bit about, you know, the actual product and how it's evolved since we last talked.
Yeah. Yeah. So when we last talked, we knew that we had this differentiating factor of prospective renters wanted to get the insight of a current resident in that community. And from a current resident's point of view, they wanted to take advantage of the referral program. They see a flyer and they can make $1,000 if they get someone in their network to move in. But oftentimes it's just so hard for you to know who in your network is looking to move, when they're looking to move, and if it just so happens to be in your neighborhood at the right time, you'll make the money. So we created somewhat of a listing service, which is like a Zillow or an apartments.com, where you are able to see the data of like the pictures, the description of the building, the available units, but then also have this added feature of messaging a resident. And one of the main ways that we saw our clients and the feedback that we received from them, they would put a chat with the resident button on their homepage. And it would direct a prospective renter that wanted to message a resident from the homepage to the RankRata listing. And that provided a ton of value. But one of the things that they wanted, our clients wanted us to focus on, was how do they not direct someone that they paid good money to get onto their homepage to another page? How do they get them engaged on their website? So creating this portal, this messenger, where a prospective renter can send a message to a current resident without leaving their homepage, that has really answered what our clients were looking for from us. And it's seen a dramatic increase in the number of conversations, and that plays through into a conversion rate of how many leads, so individuals that are interested in the community and submit their information that ultimately sign a lease. We're converting 48% of our leads
to leases.
Which is like
8,000 times normal.
It is. It really
is. Math actually might be close to accurate.
It's not that close, but it's close. It's something when we created the company and we were just an idea in our deck, we would say, well, at these buildings, the referral program was at 42% and traditional internet listing services and other marketing avenues were at 4%. If RankRata can fall somewhere in between 4 and 42%, we're creating a lot of value for our potential customers. So at that point, we knew that was our goal, was to find some median between 42 and 4%, and the success has been crazy.
Yeah.
Every one of our clients, for either a lease up, so a building that doesn't have many residents and it's a new construction, we did just get some crazy statistics back from one in Southern California. In a 2 month period, they had 34 leases signed that used RankRata, And that was out of only 58 leads. Yep. So we're almost 60% conversion at that community, and it's worth its weight in gold for them.
So this is not a surprise to me. You know, I've been a big fan of you guys since the minute I met you. I live with a junkie of a wife when it comes to comment sections. She spends more time reading the comment sections on Twitter than she does the actual stories. And I made fun of her for the better part of 3 years, and now I'm hooked on it. And it was the part of this is that what caught me. It's like, my question as an investor to you is going to be this, and I'm going to answer my own question, is why is yours getting 42% and Google is getting 4%? And if the answer is, you know, I don't, whatever you want to answer, I mean, I think I know the answer, but like, if it comes down to it's different, it's personal, it's coming at these people from a different angle, blah, 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 blah. My rhetorical response back is, well, then how long does it last before you guys fall like everybody else? And I think that for any investor who's missed out on you guys, that's been what they viewed.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it like, I think I hate fucking Yelp, okay? But I still look at it. And I go to the comment sections on all this stuff, and even if it's stupid, I still find it valuable, because it's like, if I could get myself into the mindset of a moron, how would I view this? Like, what's the worst that could happen here? This idiot did this, but like, what would I do? And like, I know that this sounds like a meandering rant for no reason, but it is the mindset of the buyer. They want to know, like, okay, you property management person said this. That's great. What do these people say? Between 1 in 10 people on average, I'm going to be nice and say 3 people are morons. It's probably more like 8 people, but you get the point. The comments are there for me to pick and choose, like, what is applicable to me. And I don't think that dies. I think I could see your numbers going down to like 25 to 30% or even 20%, but I don't think it ever goes into the single digits ever, because I think people have a natural desire to hear what other people have to say, even if it's stupid.
Yeah, so one of the things where we do give this pitch to either an investor or a potential client, most of the times the first question is, what about angry residents, right? Yeah. So I have someone that goes on Yelp and gives me a 2-star.
Only going to help, by the way.
They go on Yelp, they give me a 2-star, and they complain about something that is so minor, potentially, and they've re-signed their lease 2 years in a row. They really do like where they live, but Yelp presents this opportunity for them to vent.
Yeah.
Right? You get instant gratification and you get thousands of eyeballs on it, and you're excited that you just got back at your management company. With us, this platform promotes positivity and positive sentiment toward your great experiences, and you're reacting to a personalized question from someone that may live next door to you. So, I see you own a dog. Can you tell me what the dog park is like in the building? Is it heated in the winter? That current resident isn't looking at this as an opportunity of, oh, great, I can throw away the opportunity to make $250 and tell this prospect about the elevator being down 3.5 months ago. They look at this as awesome. Like, I'm excited to respond to this person's questions, and I'm going to help them in the best way possible. And when we present it this way to our clients and they understand the value that we're providing to our current clients and where the future of reviews and referrals are going, they're needing to face this problem head on and get those happy residents on the forefront of the marketing efforts. And RentGrotta helps them do that. And it's not hiding behind Yelp and saying, well, how do I improve 3.4 stars? It's getting the 9 out of 10 residents onto your property and having them talk about their overall great experience.
I would argue that you're right. I would argue that the question, I mean, I get where the question comes from. Obviously, I posed it. I get where the question comes from. But like, I would argue that the negative feedback is perfectly fine and in a lot of cases helpful, and it holds the managers like responsible. It holds them accountable. Any good, successful, long-term scaled business operates, or should, I mean, no, they do operate, because like, if they don't operate this way, they go out of business. They operate under the guise of like, what does my customer want and how do I deliver it to them? And so the response to you is if you have a crappy management center and a shitty building and bad property maintenance, the problem's not me and RankRout, or the problem's you, your shitty business, and you're learning a lot from your customers and it's costing you nothing, fix it and turn them into heroes. And so, like, I actually think that having negative feedback on your platform is a zero issue. And I could even, you could even look at, like, do you want to go with, like, the euphoral messaging like Snapchat, where it disappears and it's just like conversational and that's like doesn't hang on for life, so that these guys can't say like, oh, somebody had a chat, you know, thing and then post it on the internet. And like, controlling virality on negative, I get, but like, that's the only place that I would look at. Otherwise, I don't, you know, you keep maybe the logs, but like for record for a certain amount of time, but generally speaking, like, I would create a platform where they can communicate without having to like be on the record, so to speak. The other part is like, this is probably a terrible idea, but like, I would love to be, as Trump calls them, an implant, to like go on there and just like have fun and be more personable and like answer questions with like some flair and pizzazz instead of just being like boring. I think there's just so many different opportunities that your platform brings that you couldn't have thought of yet. They're just like that people, there's so many marketing opportunities, because there's very few, other than the comment section on like Amazon, there's very few places where the buyer and the consumer, without the interference of the manager, the middle person, can communicate.
Mm-hmm. And I think for a while, our clients were a little bit worried about presenting that opportunity for the buyer to talk to the current resident.
Yeah,
but
that'll change
through all of the data. And really, we do get that as our first question, and we have yet to see a current resident tell the prospect not to move in. And we have yet to see them just downplay their building and say, don't move there, talk about all the negative
experiences. They're financially incentivized to say better, but like only enough that it's not worth their soul.
Oh yeah, it's really genuine. Actually, at a building next to us that's on our platform, current resident was talking about how they've lived there for 3.5 years, talking about the the walkway, the pedway to get into work, all these nice things. And they said, oh, the one downside is in the summer, you're only allowed 2 pool guests. And then they refuted their own point, but I get it, because if we were allowed to bring more than 2 people, it would get overcrowded for the residents.
Yeah.
So that feels so genuine from a prospective renter's point of view, where it's not just someone putting their salesperson hat on and saying, move here at all costs. It's, this is what it's really been like here, and I want you to feel comfortable in making your decision.
No, I obviously get it. I like it a lot. What do you think is the most important thing that you have to get right to keep the momentum?
Yeah, I think we just need to continue growing, whether it's with our team or with our clients, as they see the opportunity that you do, with the ability for our messaging feature to grow within their portfolios. And so for us, we need to just continue adding features and work on our roadmap to make this product something where it can scale, where it's already scalable now, but continuing to add those features that they want, the one-off features.
Yep.
And what we're building, and this is really the most interesting part, especially from the investor's point of view, where right now we're a messaging feature, and you could say that it is just a feature, it's a product. But the company of RentGrotta, and where we're going with continuing to add more and more units around the country, is we will back ourselves into becoming an internet listing service, where if we do have student housing and someone's moving from, you know, say Texas A&M University to Houston, they're loyal to RentGrotta, as they know that they just made money on this platform, and it also has a search function on there.
Yep.
And when we do sign up the larger management companies, everyone will be using this platform and look at the communities that aren't using it as a, why don't you have RentGrotta? And by getting to that point of being an internet listing service without having to raise the capital and spend the millions of dollars on B2C marketing expenses, that's what we're really excited for, is to continue our growth and get to that ultimate goal.
It's cars.com, but it works. That's I love cars.com. I'm just kidding. But
sometimes I wish there was a camera on me because your jokes really do resonate. So
no, there is a camera.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah,
oh, there
no,
we
this
go.
Isn't right. just on me. No one wants to look at me. It's been on you the whole time.
Oh, now I'm even more nervous. I Turn didn't check the hair before.
No, I can see the man. Hold on.
Oh, jeez.
Turn. Yeah, you can see. Yeah.
Where am
That's,
I? Oh, jeez.
This camera right here.
Wait. Oh.
Standing on a
phone. Oh, no. Okay.
Yeah, you're streaming live to the world. Yeah.
Hello.
Better late than never. Where do people go to learn about RankRata and use it and all that jazz?
So www.rankrata.com or our infamous Instagram handle, RankRata, which may change soon.
Why?
I don't know. Someone suggested something to me. I can't remember who it was or when. But,
about a man bun?
Yeah, maybe.
Don't change the name of it. Although, you know what you need to
no,
do?
No, not the name, but the content itself.
Yeah, the content can get jacked up with more fun stuff. You can create just like hashtags.
All right.
Just a hashtag for that bun.
If any of the listeners have a hashtag for my bun, please let me know.
Let that bun have some fun.
And then...
That's your hashtag.
And then any questions directly, Zach, Z-A-C-H, at rankrata.com.
Very cool. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it, Scott. Thanks.
Of course. You can learn more about upcoming Technori events, investment opportunities, and check out the blog. Subscribe to the newsletter, all of that good stuff at technori.com. Download the podcast on Spotify or Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on social at Technori and follow me at Katoon. Boom. That's a wrap.